Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on RadioMD, iHeart, or wherever you download us from. Thank you for doing that. This is 1223B. The Bs are always wonderful guests, and we have what promises to be one today. John Schuback is a physician who does cardiovascular care at his own clinic, the Schuback Vein Center, as well as at a larger program. We'll let him tell you about that himself in a few minutes. But first, just to remind you, we are sponsored by LifeFirstNaturals.com. LifeFirstNaturals, the makers of Truebiotics and Bovine Colostrum, as well as LongevityPlaybook.com. Go to the website LifeFirstNaturals.com. Find the randomized double-blind controlled trials of why we believe that both Truebiotics and Bovine Colostrum should be in your daily armamentarium the way they're in mine. In addition, the other website to go to, longevityplaybook.com, is the home for a free newsletter and soon a AI coaching program on longevity. We're privileged to have Dr. John Schuback, who is a cardiovascular surgeon specializing in veins, with us today. And I think it's unusual to specialize in veins, but he is both at the Schuback Vein Center and the Schuback Vascular Imaging that are both accredited by the Intersocietal Accreditation Commission of the IAC. And by the way, he is an author of a chapter in the accreditation handbook as well. So he comes on good repute. His website, VITA, V-I-T-A, support, S-U-P-P-O-R-T, MD.com, which is a specialized supplement to support veins. Dr. Schuback, how did you happen to decide you wanted to specialize in veins?
Well, it's a great question. I, like your dear friend, Dr. Oz, trained as a cardiac surgeon up at the University of Rochester Medical Center up at Strong Memorial Hospital. That's about 23 years ago when I came out into private practice here in northern New Jersey, a stone's throw from the George Washington Bridge, and not far from Columbia Presbyterian, in fact. Went into private practice here in North Jersey and found that the field of open heart surgery, which was my specialty for 5 or 6 years, was shrinking considerably and rapidly as a result of the minimally invasive techniques that the interventional cardiologists had brought forth, which were fabulous for the public in general: angioplasty, stenting, and drug-eluting stents, and all this magnificent minimally invasive technology. But it really...
And if you will, we should mention the TAVR of the 6,000 valves we'll do at the Cleveland Clinic this year, an amazing number, if you will. 5,600 of them will be TAVRs, meaning transcatheter replacement of aortic valve or mitral valve. So amazing improvement in technology, but it is going into the interventional suite rather than in open heart.
Exactly, exactly, Dr. Roizen. And I have to tell you that that came as a major blow to many of us who came out in that period of time. I trained up at a major university medical center and did many valve replacements, many bypass procedures, many aortic aneurysm replacements. But the minimally invasive wave, which is fantastic, really replaced a lot of that open surgery. And rather than shifting into TAVR and aortic stenting and all of those things on the arterial and cardiac side, the other thing that was exploding at the time was minimally invasive vein treatment for chronic venous disease. And chronic venous disease affects 40 to 50 million Americans. And in fact, there are more days lost from work for chronic venous disease than peripheral arterial disease. So it was a massive field.
Say that again. That's a very important statement. What did you say about days lost?
Yeah, days lost and cost attributed to chronic venous disease in the United States is larger than peripheral arterial disease, which is in itself a huge problem.
So why do people lose? Is it ulcers? Is it infections? What causes people to lose work time or conventional time?
Yeah, that's right. All of the above. Chronic venous stasis ulceration, infection, cellulitis, deep vein thrombosis, pulmonary embolism, superficial thrombitis. It is a real disease. And that's one of the great opportunities for me to be on your show to let people know venous disease is real disease. It's sort of the kind of stepchild of vascular medicine. But we now know in the last 20 years, way behind the Europeans on this, by the way, we now know that venous disease is a real disease with a lot of morbidity, not so much mortality, but a tremendous amount of morbidity. And so the field was exploding, and I had the opportunity to go for some postgraduate training in minimally invasive techniques. I could see that minimally invasive and ambulatory procedures were the way of the future. And that's when my career took a new path. And for the last 15 years or so, I've been strictly doing vein disease here in northern New Jersey.
So it's actually very interesting because there is a shortage, I think, of vein specializing surgeons. In other words, there's a shortage of almost all surgeons, if you will, in at least it's the specialties in all of our areas, including primary care at the Cleveland Clinic, are all backed up. But it's really backed up, if you will, meaning it's tougher to get an appointment in the short term with a vein specializing or surgeon specializing in venous disease.
Can I just make one comment, Dr. Reza? Because I know you love data. You're in a great institution, world-renowned institution, evidence-based. I was having a discussion with a friend of mine, Mark Moline, Dr. Mark Moline, a vascular surgeon up at Mayo Clinic yesterday. And I just came back from speaking at an orthopedic meeting for our supplements that help with swelling. And we found out that the number of vascular surgeons, fellowship-trained vascular surgeons in the United States right now is 84 per year. The number of orthopedic surgeons, by comparison, 700. 600 to 700. So the number of vascular surgeons for a country of 300 to 350 million people is minuscule. It's mind-boggling. And then, as you said, if you take venous subspecialization out of that vascular surgery, you're talking about a tiny number of individuals for a huge country.
So that's why it's so tough to get an appointment, eh?
And to why so many people are being neglected and undertreated, unfortunately.
Now tell us, so you went through a number of conditions that are caused by venous insufficiency. Most of us think of venous insufficiency, or when we think of veins, it's varicose veins. Tell us about the venous system. So the veins are what brings the blood after it goes to the tissue back to the heart. So talk to us about the legs, because I assume the legs are one of the places where the venous system is most what you would call disturbed over time, because it's got the longest course to get back there and you're standing upright, so you got the most pressure on it. But talk to us, because there's more than just the superficial system. There's a deep system. Is that right?
That's correct. And you put your finger on something very, very important. The fact that we stand on two legs as human beings has allowed us to advance the way we have, besides our big brain and our big frontal cortex that allows us to have amazing ideas and innovation and our opposable thumb. The fact that we got up off of all fours and stood on two legs allowed us to use our hands so that we can do all these incredible things like perform surgery and write and type and so on and so forth. But by standing on two legs, we are the only animal really in the mammal group that develops venous insufficiency, largely because of the gravitational pull of the earth, pulling blood back down into our feet and ankles. That causes what we call venous hypertension, and that chronic venous hypertension leads to swelling in the soft tissues, leads to inflammatory changes in the skin that we call venous eczema and venous dermatitis. And the essence of the problem is really very much genetic and congenital. At its core, it's an inflammatory process. Just like some families have arthritis, osteoarthritis, or rheumatoid arthritis in the joints, other families carry this inflammatory vein disease where the endothelium, the intima, becomes inflamed, destroying these very delicate, tiny one-way valves. And once those one-way check valves have been destroyed, blood has no choice but to pool with gravity in the legs, causing all of these very significant complications.
If we spent more time in bed, we probably, or hanging upside down, would we have less problem?
Absolutely. In fact, you raised so many great points. Again, my friend Mark Molina up at Mayo is a very fascinating guy. He's worked a lot with the people at NASA. And astronauts have the exact opposite problem, because when you get into a zero gravity orbital situation, what swells is your head and neck. And then you have cerebral edema issues, which is a very interesting area of investigation and research.
That's right. They get deep vein clots in their sinuses. Is that right?
Yeah, and they come out with a big face and a big head when they land. So it's very interesting how the gravitational force, how we've evolved to adapt to the gravitational force of this planet, but it's not perfect because we're dependent on these very delicate one-way check valves.
Isn't that interesting? It's so interesting, those check valves. Is there anything we can do to protect our check valves? In other words, should we all be wearing tight stockings, compression hose, if you will, from the beginning? Do you do that in the operating room?
Well, yes. I guess ideally, I always joke with my patients, you get pick new parents, but we don't have that luxury because most of this is inherited and most of us love our parents, thankfully. But yes, one of the conservative measures, one of the easiest things to do is to wear proper, good quality graduated compression stockings. And that graduated compression is very important. It's different than just sort of an athletic sleeve or a regular elastic stocking, because the graduated pressure from the ankle to the mid leg to the calf area actually creates a pressure gradient that helps to drive the blood and lymphatic fluid, for that matter, out of the lower extremity and back up to the heart.
Now, tell us again, you said it's genetic. So if your mom or dad had varicose veins, does that mean you should be putting on compression stockings at an early age?
It would be a good idea. In fact, I think it would be a good idea, just like brushing your teeth and flossing, even if your parents died with all their teeth, I think it's probably best to take care of them the best you can. I have two sisters who are dentists, and patients say, do I have to floss my teeth? And they say, just the ones you want to keep. So
I have the same dentist, it must be.
I think it's good advice, really, for those of us, which is most of us, who are either seated or standing in our profession most of the day, to wear a good pair of compression stockings. That goes for surgeons, nurses, police officers, office workers, et cetera, to fight that gravitational force, which is relentless.
The interesting thing on this, from a standpoint, if you will, that I'm at least thinking about, is that I stand all day on a treadmill desk. So I'm on a treadmill desk now. And what you're telling me is I should be wearing my compression stockings while I'm on the treadmill desk.
It would be beneficial, but I have to tell you, the fact that you have a treadmill desk is very helpful because, as you know, you're using the calf muscle pump to physically help return blood to the heart, which is one of the main two mechanisms, that and normal breathing, which creates a bellows effect and a negative pressure in the thorax that vacuums blood back to the heart. But use of those big leg muscles, even at a very slow rate on a treadmill desk, is very helpful. So you're in a very unique situation there, but the stockings would still be beneficial.
Ah, okay. How great is the genetic preponderance? How great is the genetic preponderance? And let's get to that. And then I want to go over something about the supplements. So how great is the genetic preponderance?
I think that it's hugely important. I see I've had patients in my practice now. I'm old enough that I have three generations, grandparents, parents, and children. It can affect teenagers. So that's hugely important. And the other thing that we're learning that I think you would be very fascinated by, I have another colleague, Dr. Joe Raffetto, up at the Harvard system, who's been doing some very interesting genetic research studies that explain a lot to us. For example, we now know that there's a gene for venous stasis leg ulcer, whereas up until very recently, we had no idea. And you would say, hey, this patient has tremendous long-standing venous insufficiency and varicose veins and venous hypertension and doesn't have an ulcer. And this other patient doesn't seem to have nearly as bad a clinical manifestation of venous stasis. Why do they have this gigantic leg ulcer? So we know even down to things like that, DVT formation, ulceration, dermatitis, there are genetic links to all of these complications.
Got it. And talk to me about the supplements, since that's the one subject we haven't gone over, which I really do want to go over.
Yeah, of course. Well, first of all, I think that we as allopathic MD physicians really sort of got a raw deal in our training. Many of us were led to believe that supplements don't have any effect on the human body, and nothing can be further from the truth. We know that vitamin D deficiency causes rickets, vitamin C deficiency causes scurvy, vitamin A deficiency causes blindness. So we know that supplements, minerals, vitamins, trace minerals, et cetera, are very important. The supplement that we provide at Vita Support MD is an MPFF-based supplement, micronized purified flavonoid fraction. And those are flavonoids that come from citrus rind. There's 40 years of research that's been done in randomized controlled trials showing that patients who have venous insufficiency and lymphatic disorders, lymphedema, and so on and so forth, benefit greatly in these supplements supporting the venous and lymphatic system. The data's in.
One of the things I do for flavonoids, if you will, for my own self, if you will, is I get a lot of tomatoes. So lycopene, it is a flavonoid, and you do get it from tomatoes. Is it beneficial for the veins as well, or is it really the citrus bioflavonoids that are much better?
The most research with regard to venous diseases has been done on the citrus bioflavonoids, diosmin, hesperidin, and what's in MPFF. And that's what's in our vein formula and our lymphatic formula. But I'll tell you this, it's great to eat brightly colored fruits and vegetables, raw, from nature, organic. These are all really healthy things to do. But I must tell you that when you talk about supplements, the serving size or the so-called dosage is tremendous compared to what you could possibly ever ingest in a normal diet. For example, you would have to eat to get the 1,000 milligrams of MPFF that's in two capsules of VitaSport MD, somewhere in the neighborhood of 8,000 orange rinds. I mean, and the fruit itself has very, very little flavonoid. All of the flavonoid, the word flavonoid comes from the Latin flavus, which means yellow. So the flavonoids are really highly concentrated in the rind, in that colorful part of the rind. But even so, they're in very, very trace amounts in nature.
I want to thank you very much for coming on. We've been talking with John Schuback, who is a cardiovascular surgeon specializing in veins, as you've heard, and he obviously has a great knowledge of veins. You can find more about the bioflavonoids at Vita Support, VitaSupportMD.com, which is a website for Dr. Schuback as well. That's Schuback. He also has a clinic or two in New Jersey. Is that right? They're at Upper Saddle River, New Jersey?
We're actually in Paramus, New Jersey.
In Paramus, New Jersey. And there's both a Schuback Vein Center and a Schuback Vascular Imaging Unit there as well. John, thank you very much for coming on and giving us so much information. One of these times, we ought to talk about what to do about going out in space, since it appears that more people are doing it. And I guess we don't want our people who are vital to the national interest going out in space and having a fat head, if you will, from edema. So thank you very much. We, of course, are brought to you by Life's First Naturals, the makers of both bovine colostrum and TruBiotics. Go to their website, lifesfirstnaturals.com, to find out more. And by longevityplaybook.com. Go to longevityplaybook.com and sign up for the free weekly newsletter. Thanks again, John. And thank you for downloading us. Thanks again.